Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Music and Worship Arts here at the church, and it's a joy to be with you again. This week we are joined by Deacon Rebecca Bogan, and she shares a word on a heart for hospitality. Enjoy.
Our scripture today comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she was well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning again. Well, you're down to the third string pastor this morning. You got me. All right, so we're going to pray our way through this. So let's begin with prayer. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, I'm not Eric, so I'm not going to try to do it without a script, because as Kurt says, Rebecca, you'll go way off and go way too long if you do. So we're talking about hospitality. I kind of deal in that just a little bit around here on Sunday mornings. And I want to say first, thank you to all of you, whether you're officially on the teams or not. I see everybody greeting people. That's hospitality. That's what we're here for. And we're going to talk about hospitality from the heart today. Where is hospitality in our lives? If you haven't spoken to someone you don't know this morning, I challenge you to do that. We are called this morning to love all people. We are called tomorrow morning to love all people. Our families, our friends, our neighbors, but also the stranger, the refugees, the immigrants. We are to love and care for all of God's people. We are to welcome them to this house of worship. Well, I like words. You know, many of you know I'm a musician by training. Went to seminary, so I've had a few of these courses, but I have to admit, never had a preaching class. Had all that music stuff. But I like words. I like to know what they mean, whether we're saying them or singing them. The word hospitality, one of my favorite definitions I found was in the Latin word hospitalitem. It means friendliness to guest, host, make people feel welcome. Then I got to thinking about other words, and one I really hadn't thought about being connected to hospitality is hospital. A hospital was originally a guest inn, a place where people came and stayed as they traveled. Over the years, it evolved into a place that we took care of our sick. Hospice. It's a word that we use and a place that we use to care graciously and lovingly at the end of our loved ones' lives. And we think about hostels. I know our daughters, when they toured Europe, when we paid for them to go and study abroad, you know, they toured Europe and Kurt and I stayed home and worked. But they stayed in hostels. Hospitality. That's what it's all about. Loving and caring for other people. That's what we're called to do. Let's think about this text we read this morning. It's not one that's probably in your top 10 that you think about every day. Today's passage is the beginning of the prophet Elijah's ministry. Right after he's been told by God to leave the land of Israel, Elijah is locked in a power struggle with King Ahab. He has just married his daughter, Jezebel. Well, their god is the Canaanite god, Baal. And now Ahab, she has convinced Ahab that the source of rain and life on earth is from Baal. Well, Elijah holds to the conviction that the Lord God of Israel controls the keys to rain, to water, to life. And he stands beside it. Well, Elijah gets in King Ahab's face. Maybe not his brightest move of the week. As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Wow. These are brave words. Probably not very smart. They're the kind that can get you killed. God knows that Ahab has a temper. So God advises Elijah, and he says, go from here and turn eastward and hide yourself in the Wadi Cherith, which provides the water he needs. A wadi is a creek or a river. There God sustains Elijah with gifts of bread and meat delivered by flocks of ravens. So he's got water. He's getting meat twice a day. The kings and the high priest might get meat every once in a while, but people don't get just eat meat every day like many of us do. So the ravens are bringing him a feast every day, twice a day. Well, that wadi eventually runs out of water because he said it wasn't going to rain until he said it would. So he moves on to his next journey. Keep in mind, during this text today, the word widow means voiceless one. A person without a place, without any power. Without even a voice. That's the widow. Then the word God again comes to the prophet Elijah. And he's going to send him away one more time. He says, go now to Zarephath and live there. For I have commanded a widow there to feed you. Just for the record, God is sending Elijah to the land of Ahab's father-in-law. He is the king there. Jezebel's daddy is the king. Oops. Good thing they don't have text messaging, isn't it? Elijah does what God says, and he goes. When he gets there, he sees a very sad-looking woman. She's picking up sticks. Any sympathy that he might have for her is dismissed by his aggravation of this long journey that he has been on. He has been walking through the desert. He's tired. He's thirsty. He's hungry. And he says, looks at the widow and says, bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink. And then he adds, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand as well. The widow, who is at the end of her rope and suddenly finds her voice, says, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it and for myself and my son fix our final meal so we can die. After that sad, poignant statement, Elijah just didn't seem to have any sympathy. He said, enough with the gloomy talk. Don't be afraid. He counsels her and he says, go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards make something for yourself and your son, For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied and the jug of oil will not fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. So she goes and does what Elijah said. A remarkable act of faith for a woman so down in the dumps, so depressed. Sure enough, according to the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah, she and her household have plenty to eat. She's now feeding Elijah too. Remember that. The word of God has been fulfilled through Elijah. I think about this precious, hungry mother who has no food. She only has a heart for hospitality. She gives to herself, she gives to others before she gives to herself, and she's repaid through generosity to a stranger. She is one of the most courageous biblical examples of true hospitality. Remember, she only has a son in herself. She has no voice in the public world. As we continue reading this rest of this chapter, something else happens that we didn't hear in our scripture this morning. Her son dies. Well, she's beyond angry and she's so confused. She's done everything that God asked and her son dies. She asked Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God?" She says, "I've given everything. I've given everything you've asked and my son is not breathing." Elijah immediately says, "Give me your son." He takes the boy and he runs upstairs where he's been staying and he lays his body on the boy's body and he begins praying to God, "God, why have you done this to this woman? Why?" And he prays three times, "God, bring breath into this boy. God, bring breath into this boy that he may live again." And he does. He gets to run down the stairs and he takes the boy and he hands him to his mother. And she is so full of joy. She is so full of joy. Her faith. "Now I know," she says to Elijah, "that you are a man of God and the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth." She gave everything she had to the stranger. Now the stranger has been able to give her most treasured joy, her son. There's a balance there, isn't there? The stranger and the widow, both taking care of each other. Let's think for a moment about the Old Testament and New Testament times. Very few people traveled. And those that did were probably they were displaced. They didn't have a home. They were outsiders, looking, striving, struggling with life. They had no social standing, no natural claim to any form of protection. Basic needs, no work, no land, no water. They couldn't even go to the well in the community without someone else drawing the water for them. They had nothing. So in these situations, hospitality is literally a matter of life and death. And the sacred duty of every household is bound to fulfill their needs. They have saved each other, the widow, and now the stranger to the widow. I remember a story, and this is a true story, about our oldest daughter, Emily. How many of you in this room are familiar if I say the letters OMP? Ozark Mission Project. We have teenagers from all over this state and leaders going each summer to help those in need, to do mission work, to build handicap ramps, to paint, to mow the grass, to do whatever is needed to help their neighbors. It was the summer before Emily's senior year, and she was going on her last OMP project, and she was excited. She had no idea what was getting ready to happen to her life. If you've been on an OMP trip, you know that the people they work for are called their neighbors. The kids always take their lunch and their leaders, and they take an extra sandwich for their neighbor. As they worked that morning, Emily noticed that the neighbor got in her car and left for a while. And she came back, and she had a few sacks, and she carried them into the kitchen. Well, it came time for lunch, and it was hot, and they were tired, and they were thirsty, and they were hungry. But they always invited their neighbors, so Emily was walking towards the door to invite her neighbor to come out and have lunch and devotion with them. As she walked to the door, the neighbor walked out and invited them into her home for lunch. This was a big surprise to the kids. It's never happened before. The kids went in, and it probably wasn't cool like our house is or like this room usually is. But there was a fan going. They sat around the table. She had prepared for them a teenage feast. They had pizza. They had cheese dip and chips and macaroni and cheese. And it just went on and on and on. They had Cokes and lemonade. And there was a pitcher of iced tea sitting there. And it was just a feast. So they sat around the table and they shared a meal. But they also shared fellowship. They shared their devotion. But all the time they were there, this lady just kept looking at them and thanking them for what they were doing. I can't believe that you've left the comforts of your home and you've left the swimming pools and you've left all your activities for the summer to come to my house to build a wheelchair ramp so my dad can go in and out of this house safely. They had a wonderful meal and they had a good time. There was laughter. Well, Emily said, well, Mom, I was smart. It was a lot cooler in there than outside. So I volunteered to do the dishes. And I said, really? But she stayed in there and she helped her clean up. And she was, of course, there wasn't a dishwasher. And she was drying the dishes. And she walked over to clear off the table. And as teenagers do, when they have food they love, they had eaten it all. There was nothing left except a pitcher of iced tea. So Emily picked up the pitcher and was walking towards the refrigerator, knowing she would find what she does when she opens ours. It's full of food, right? She opened the refrigerator, and it was empty. As she walked back to the counter to finish drying the dishes, she looked over and saw a jar. There was one food stamp left. The lady had given them everything she had. So, of course, before they left, the kids went out, got the ice chests, and brought in everything that they had brought for their lunch. But the neighbor had given them everything because she was so thankful. She found such joy in preparing food for those kids that day. She gave of her last, but she gave it in joy. True hospitalities. I can say Emily's never been the same. We're challenged today through our scriptures to love the stranger, which has a very different feeling for us than loving our neighbor. It's real easy for us to love the people that live in our neighborhood and look just like us and basically live our same lifestyle. We're being asked to give from the heart today during this time of stewardship. It's really important that we reflect on our own lives, our journeys during this week. We're challenged to look at our priorities as we think about the mission and ministries of this church and all that it does to give other people better lives. We remember our church vows that we took. We pray for the church and the world. We're present in worship and study, and we give financially to sustain the church as we show love and compassion for other people. That's what it's all about. You're going to be receiving a letter this week with an estimate of giving card and a narrative budget that explains to you the mission and ministries of the church. You'll also be given a giving chart and the materials that can assist you as you look at your level of giving and what it would mean if you increased that level by 1%, as we all ultimately hope to work towards the 10%, but step 1% at a time makes a difference. Help us remember the little phrase that little becomes much when everyone gives. Together we can make a difference in this world. We can make a difference to that neighbor's life. We can make a difference to the child around the world. We can make a difference to the child next door. Let's remember the neighbor and the widow who gave everything in faith to serve others. I have a composer friend that writes beautiful lyrics, finds beautiful lyrics, and composes wonderful music. The title of this song is called Welcome. And it shows a heart for hospitality. Let's walk together for a while and ask where we began to build a world where love can grow and hope can enter in, to be the hands of healing and to plant the seeds of peace, singing welcome, welcome to this place. You're invited to come and know God's grace. All are welcome in this place.
Thanks once again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 each Sunday morning. We'd love to see you here. Grace and peace, y'all.